The wheels of a possible compromise on immigration have been turning over the last day. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. The White House released a new framework last night that would create a path to citizenship for 1.8 million people living in the U.S. illegally. For more on this, I'm joined by Marketplace's senior reporter, Kimberly Adams in Washington. Kimberly, talk about these 1.8 million people?
Right. This is way more than just the DACA recipients. Remember that the big shutdown fight was really focused on the so-called Dreamers, and there are more than 700,000 of them. But this plan, as released by the White House, would include a path to citizenship for those who would be eligible for DACA as well, not just those who applied.
So that's a concession, possibly, to Democrats, but at what cost?
This framework also calls for $25 billion for a border wall. That's up from the $18 billion, which was the last number we heard from the White House in terms of demands for wall funding. And keep in mind, this is money President Trump is asking taxpayers to pay for this wall, despite repeated promises during and after the campaign that Mexico would pay for the border wall. The president also wants more money for border security and law enforcement personnel, which has a bit more bipartisan support.
So does this, I don't want to call it a plan, it's really just an outline, but does this have a better chance of becoming reality than previous almost deals on this subject?
It's hard to say at this point. The White House is getting pushback from both Republicans and Democrats on this. Democrats are bristling at the wall funding, plus the plan's call for an end to the visa lottery program and some family visas, which the White House calls chain migration. Some Republicans, especially harder-line conservatives, are calling the Dreamer plan amnesty and really criticizing the president for what they say is backing down on campaign promises. Also, remember, Republicans have a very narrow majority in the Senate, so they have to win over at least some Democrats to make any kind of deal.
Marketplace's Kimberly Adams, thank you. I want to check the markets here. The 100-share index in London is up 0.4%. The DAX index in Germany is down less than 0.1%. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are up plus 0.5% for the NASDAQ future, plus 0.3% for the Dow future. Beginning today, people inclined to spend nearly $350 on a fancy loudspeaker can place online orders for Apple's HomePod. This is the voice-actuated active speaker market. Among the competition, the Amazon Echo costs just $99, and the HomePod has limitations. For instance, when you tell it to play music, it'll play only from Apple's music service. If you want other apps to play something, you'd have to attach your iPhone or iPad and do it that way. Marketplace's Dan Gorenstein reports on where the smart speaker market is headed as Apple looks to make a dent.
Amazon got a huge head start in smart speakers with its Echo line. Apple is showing up to the party a little late.
It's very Apple-esque.
Ben Schachter is an internet analyst with Macquarie Securities.
This is what they do. They come late and they try to come better. We'll see if it works this time.
Schachter doubts Apple has another iPhone or iPad on its hands, in part because of HomePod's price tag. But a behemoth like Apple jumping into the pool signals that this industry is hot. Already, an estimated 39 million Americans own a smart speaker. Werner Gertz of Gartner says it'll be a $3.5 billion industry by 2021.
This is a technology that will be disruptive, that will be beneficial, and will create profitability as well.
Amazon's Echo already performs 30,000 different skills, from playing music to turning on the lights in your home. Gert says companies have just begun to scratch the surface of this new technology, and that is why Apple wants in. I'm Dan Gorenstein for Marketplace.
U.S. factory workers aren't getting any younger as a group, and manufacturers are worried there won't be enough young people with the skills to do the work they need done. Now, 10 states are looking at a system from Germany to help fill these manufacturing positions. In Georgia, WABE's Tasnim Shama reports on how high school students are training for factory jobs in a German-style apprenticeship program.
17-year-old Cole McCann has a busy schedule. On Fridays, he sets his alarm to wake up at 3 a.m. so he can get to his job at EGO North America. It's a factory that makes the parts inside electric stoves in Newnan, about an hour's drive south of Atlanta.
I'm now working on a miniature drill press, and I'm milling the project now.
McKeon splits his time between his high school, technical college, and shaping metal at EGO, where he makes $10 an hour. Next year, he'll graduate with a high school diploma, associate's degree in precision manufacturing, and a full-time job offer. McKeon's one of 27 students in the Georgia program, modeled on German-style apprenticeships. The three-year program starts at age 15. It matches students with factories where they get hands-on training.
This is a great win-win for not only the student, but obviously for industry.
That's Georgia Lieutenant Governor Casey Cagle. He says the state launched the program in 2016 after a German company, Grenzebach, that makes manufacturing equipment, had trouble finding workers. The worker shortage is a national problem. A report from the Manufacturing Institute and Deloitte found U.S. manufacturers need to fill more than 3.5 million jobs over the next decade. The German-American Chamber of Commerce has helped set up these German-style apprenticeship programs in 10 states so far.
When we have jobs for manufacturing reliability technicians, we have a hard time filling them.
Tony Walding is manager of the Michelin Tread Technologies plant in Covington, Georgia. To find workers, he says,
we have to go outside of the area.
His company just recruited a 15-year-old high school sophomore. The state of Georgia aims to offer this kind of opportunity to every high school student by 2020. In Atlanta, I'm Tasneem Shamma for Marketplace.
And Dell Computer of Texas was one of the most high-profile tech companies of the last 30 years until it took itself off the public stock market. As a privately held company, it had more leeway to reconfigure itself without the daily and quarterly hectoring of analysts and public investors. But now Reuters is reporting Dell might try going public again. There's a meeting planned for this month about maybe an IPO. This after a $67 billion purchase of a data storage company, EMC, did not pay off as much as hoped. Our executive producer is Nicole Childers. Our digital producer is Janet Wynn. Engineer Brian Allison. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.